you ready to stop submitting basic applications and winging your interview for your next nursing role? Whether you're a graduate nurse or a seasoned healthcare professional, we'd love to exclusively invite you to our secret nurse growth hub, where you can get all of the support to apply, interview, and land your next nursing role completely free. All of the resources that we've shared and created over the last 3 years that have helped 3,000 plus nurses internationally apply, interview, and land their next nursing role. So what are you waiting for? Come and join us today. It's completely free. LiamCaswell.com/NGH. Come and join the Nurse Growth Hub today, and let's make applying, interviewing, and landing your next nursing role easy. Hello, you are listening to the High Performance Nursing Podcast with me, Liam Caswell, where I help clinicians just like you take control of their careers and remove all the things stopping you from achieving your biggest goals. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today we're talking about why HR is not your friend. So recently I have been coaching some amazing humans through some pretty challenging circumstances within the workplace. And I want to talk about it here because I feel like with so many people listening, I think we have to talk about this stuff more and we have to bring it to the forefront of our discussions and so that people are aware that HR is not your friend and that there are lots of people that are out there to make life difficult for you, especially if you are in a sticky situation within your nursing career. Now, whilst this is not legal advice and this is not HR advice, this is just my opinion and my experiences having been a nurse unit manager. I give this advice or these insights to help anybody that is navigating a difficult time. And we've done this before. There's an episode on the podcast around performance and what to do if you're being performance managed. And there will be a bit of crossover. But the first thing that I want to lean into is the fact that when we are being put through some kind of performance process, or we're maybe being investigated by APRA, or we're being explored, we have to make sure that we surround ourselves with support. And it's so easy for us to go into a place of stress and fight or flight and overwhelm naturally, of course, because our livelihood is on the line. So I think that we need to create a system of support so that we can find that co-regulation and safety and connection in people that are not going to add further fuel to the drama, right? So that our closest people often are like indulging in the drama just as much as your brain wants to. And they're saying things like, oh my goodness, are you going to lose your job? And is this going to like end your career? And what happens if you don't nurse anymore? Like, there are so many big questions out there. And I think that one thing that I see time and time again is that having a space, container, and help and support from people that are not immediately in the environment can help regulate your nervous system. Because we know that when we are triggered and we're in a stress response, that we're not thinking from our highest part of our brain, our prefrontal cortex. So it's really important that you prioritize maybe having a little bit of indulgence of, oh my goodness, there's so much happening here. And there's so much that I'd need to navigate that I don't know what I'm doing. But also coming back to a safe space with someone where you can get the support and navigate what that looks like. So that could be anybody, right? That could be the Nursing Midwifery Helpline. That could be jumping on a free call with me. That could be talking to somebody in the workplace. It's a little bit further removed. But often, I think as nurses, because we're so kind, compassionate, loving, caring, and we just assume that everybody does their best, that we forget that HR in the hospital is not your friend. And they're never out to make your outcome be the best for you. It's always about the organization, and it makes total sense. I'm not hating on HR here. This is just the reality, right? So that's the first thing, is find the support that you need to be able to navigate this, because these processes can take days, weeks, some of them months, some of them years. So that's like personal support. Then I want you to think about professional support. Now, it's too many people come to me and they say, I've been having these performance discussions with my manager and HR. And I say, did you take anybody in with you? And they say, no. And people are really scared and worried to take people into these meetings with them. And it's an absolute non-negotiable. As a manager, when I used to invite people to performance discussions, of course, I had HR with me, right? They were always there, or my ADON or my DOM was there. And that's pretty scary when you come into these meetings and you're being performance managed, or you're going through a process that involves HR and some deeper discussion. So make sure that you take somebody in. That can be a union representative. That could be a peer that's not going to just indulge in the drama and indulge in the situation and make it worse. You want somebody to come in that's going to be a voice of reason, an impartial body that can come in and support you and pretty much be your kind of like note taker. They're there not through a stress response, and they're there to support you, but also to take the notes, to capture everything that you missed. It's like the relative with the patient, right? The relative hopefully is kind of a bit more regulated. So they're there listening intently, taking all the information. And then the patient's like, what did you just say? What diagnosis do I have? It's because they're going through a stress response. So you want to create a space of safety for yourself so you can go in and you can just be you. You can show up, you can kind of defend yourself and offer whatever you need to offer. And somebody's there to support you in all of those meetings. The next thing that you must do is really seriously consider, is this something that needs to go via the union, or do I need to get some legal support? And even though the union might provide legal support, I think that if you're ever going through a workplace issue whereby you think something shady might be happening, because these things happen all the time, and not to scare you, but they do happen, and these people slide into my DMs and they tell me all the things, and I feel for them, and I want you to have all the information. So don't ever just take something as granted if you feel like it's unjust and you feel like it's not complying with policy and procedure. The hospital HR team are never going to tell you if somebody's broken the rules. Just FYI, they're never going to tell you. They might try and rectify it and things might change, or they might not. They might just brush it under the carpet and continue because they think they can get you out. So make sure that you get a second opinion. I liken it to if you got a diagnosis, would you just take it for granted that that's exactly what it is? Knowing what you know about the healthcare system, would you just trust the person and be like, sure, let's just start this? Or would you go and get a second opinion? Most people would get a second opinion. And if you're not that kind of person, get a second opinion. Just go and run it past a lawyer and talk to somebody and get some professional advice. There are also professional advocacy services, and I can't remember the name of them, but I will put them all in the bio here so that you can go and get them. You also can always reach out to a good friend of the podcast, and I'm just dobbing her in here, but I'm sure she doesn't mind, Tammy Copley. I think I butchered her last name. I'm sorry, Tammy, if I said it incorrectly. I think it's Copley. Anyway, Tammy is incredible, and she runs the Nurses and Midwives Against Bullying Australia group, which there's two groups. So you want to go to the Nursing Midwifery Against Australia. Oh my God, I'm going to butcher it. Nurses and Midwives Against Australia, Against Bullying Australia. Original. If in doubt, the link will be in the show notes. Just click there, answer the questions, and get into that group. Whilst I love Tammy's work in that group, it is a space where people are sharing their experiences. So if you're somebody where it's quite raw, it might be a little bit triggering for you. It is a safe space, and Tammy's amazing, but there are lots of very strong opinions in there, of course, naturally, because there are people that have had really difficult situations and experiences, sharing their life experience with everybody. So just keep that in mind when you go into the group. But Tammy's always open to you messaging her, hopefully. And I'm sure she is. So reach out to her and she will give you some advice there. But I always say go straight to the source, go to the highest level of input that you can. And the reason why is I supported somebody through a performance management process. And by support, I mean, I was taking them through a performance management process, and it was performance, and there was a couple of other things as well. And initially they did not have any kind of support. And of course, as a manager, our job is to say, you need EAP, here are some support, you know, bring your union member, you have all of these rights. And they didn't. And at some points there were things that were happening on the HR side that were not overly pleasant on our side of the table. So I was a little sneaky, and I managed this person. And I just said, hey, it's in your best interest to bring somebody. You need to make sure that you have somebody that can represent you. So always, always, always get a second opinion. HR is not your friend. Next, I want you to make sure that you are always documenting absolutely every step in the process. So for example, You get told that you are on a performance plan or there's some shady stuff happening at work. Document it. Send it in an email to your nurse unit manager, your CNC, whoever's in charge. Keep a record of it. So here's what I would do. Something happens at work, I would document it thoroughly in the moment, as close to the moment as possible, because we know that our memory and our brain will just confabulate a story because that's how we're designed. We do not remember. That's why firsthand witness accounts are not overly reliable and they often get thrown out in court. It's because really, like, we don't remember and we just create a story from our memories. And it might not be true. So as close as possible to the event, document absolutely everything that has happened in your own words, in full format for you and you only. And then obviously create an incident report or put it into your manager via email with the key bullet points about what's happened and where you're going. This is if it's like a clinical thing, if you've been bullied, if there's been an incident on the floor, but it's a little bit trickier if your manager is the person that's managing you or is taking you through this process. So in that situation, just keep your own records, do your own reflections, document your shifts at the end of the day. It's painful, I know, but future you will be grateful that you did it. And you can capture all of the data. Because here's the thing, they will go through your work with a fine-tooth comb. They will look for things. They will try and find things. And if there is anything that stands out to them, they will come at you with it. And you want to be able to go back to your own personal notes, not your professional notes, and be able to go, well, actually on that day, this is exactly what happened. And I took notes. There was 4 people on, there was, you know, 8 admissions, there was 29 beds, blah, 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 blah. And you have all of the facts, not stories. We have the facts. We have clear data because they can't argue with data. They can't argue with facts. And in this process, your brain's going to want you to be emotional because this is unjust. Of course it is. Your brain's going to want you to go down the path of saying this is unfair. And you're going to want to argue your case. I've supported people through APRA processes where they keep arguing the same case. And I say to them, there's no point. They've already given you the instruction about what you need to do. So just meet the requirements. Do what they need you to do. Stop spending hours every week calling them and arguing with them and make the thing happen. Give them what they need. Let them tick their boxes. Over deliver. Give them everything they need and more, and then move on. And just park it in the history of what's happened. And that's exactly what you need to do in this kind of setting as well. So document, document, document. If you ever go to a meeting with a manager or an ADON or a DON or anybody, an educator, a CDN, a CNC, a CNS, and you feel like it is formal, ask them. Just say, is this a formal meeting? Do I need to be taking notes? You'll feel uncomfortable. Just feel uncomfortable. You'll sit with the discomfort. It will pass. And then you'll take your notes and you'll say, okay, let me take some notes. Do I need to have somebody here? That's another good question. And they'll say, yes, you can, absolutely, or no. And you can rightfully say, I would rather not talk about this until I have some support here. And just navigate that process with them. In terms of documenting, the other thing I wanted to add was make sure that when you leave any type of meeting that you always follow it up with an email. Because a good manager should do this and most of them don't do this. But you can follow the process and you can do the best that you can. But when you follow up with email, you are just following up with the facts. Dear Liam, thank you so much for meeting with me today to discuss my performance or to discuss X situation. In this meeting, we covered these main points. And they're all factual from your notes. They're not emotionally driven. They're not emotional opinions. They're just facts. As discussed, we will be following through with a meeting on this date. And I will be bringing this person. And these are the things that I think that I would like to talk about. Or these are the things you asked me to do and I'm doing them. I've got a plan and I'm going to put them into place. This all seems like extra work. It is. Unfortunately, in these situations, you're going to have extra work, but it's going to pay off because you're potentially going to protect yourself, protect your registration, protect your job and your livelihood. So this is not a time, even though our brain wants us to indulge in this, like, woe is me, why did this happen to me? I totally hear you. It fucking sucks. But here's the thing. They don't need to hear that. They don't care, clearly. So let's pull that back, get that support with that individual person, that safety point of contact where they can co-regulate your nervous system and help you navigate the stress behind the scenes. And when you're doing the thing, you're there, you're showing up and you're committing to it and you're delivering. Even if you think this is absolutely ludicrous, right? That's where the lawyer comes in, but you have to follow the process. So document, document, document. The last thing that I'll offer here is make sure that even though you are deeply trusting and an amazing person for having that trusting ability, just keep your eyes open, your ears open, and just pay attention to what is happening. This is why having that support in the meetings with you is really crucial, because they'll be able to read between the lines. If something is moving really, really fast and you're like a little perplexed, just take that as a little red flag, because these processes in hospitals, and particularly public hospitals, they are quite challenging in the sense that they take a lot of time, and it's actually really difficult to sack people because there are policies and procedures in place. So there should be. But if something's moving extremely fast, one, either there is a major incident that we've been a part of and, you know, there's warrant for that. But again, that's something I would run past a union or a legal rep. Two, it's because they're not following policy and procedure and they don't know their own policy and procedure. So you would have grounds there for a whole heap of issues that you could present to them about how you're being managed and dealt with. For the managers that are listening, just remember that people that are going through these situations, and I wish somebody said this to me as well, but I kind of had this insight because I've had some situations where I've been managed, I've been performance managed, I've made errors, I've been pulled into the office, I've had the slap on the wrists, and it's always delivered just much more compassionately when you just see the fact that there's a human that's going through this process. And not only are they going through this process, like, believe it or not, like, I think that we're better off if we just believe that everybody has tried their absolute best. Remove your opinions from it. Remove your judgments from it. Do not, for God's sake, talk about it to anybody else. Do not talk about it at the team meetings. Do not talk about it to your peers. Do not exclude these people from the unit and from the ward and from the coffee round or whatever happens, all of the shady shit. There's no time for it. It's so unfair. These people are going through a deeply traumatic experience. Whether they, quote unquote, brought it on themselves or not, it does not matter. Your job is to hold space for them, to coach them through it, to help them. I've seen this time and time again. We put people on performance plans, but it's like we're not actually actively trying to help them with their performance. The goal immediately is almost like we're going to try and move them out. And I had somebody the other day slide into my DMs whose son has been going through this process. And from day dot that they were put on a performance plan, it was like they almost just wanted to get rid of him. And we can create stories about that, but just remember managers, educators, CDNs, people of influence, people that are managing, people that are going through difficult situations, there's a reason why people are acting the way they're acting. And it's not because they just chose to be difficult today. It's not because they chose to make a mistake. It's not because they thought, you know what I'm going to do today? Yeah, I'm just going to like totally avoid doing my job. There's a reason, because they're human and humans suffer. Like, my psychologist just say to me, everybody's suffering. And that stuck with me all the time. Because when I look at people that have had adverse events or adversity or challenges and in the workplace, or the day that an AIN came up to me and screamed in my face when I started my shift because I hadn't responded to an email, like, I just looked at that person. I was like, you are suffering. What is going on? This is not a normal human reaction. How can I help you? How can I support you? I mean, immediately I wanted to be like, what the fuck is going on? How dare you talk to me? But once we've got over our own crap as a nurse manager, a leader, an educator, we then have to help the other person get over their hurdles, because they're acting out and behaving in a way because of what has happened, either professionally, personally, even maybe in their childhood. They might be acting out because I say it all the time, running a ward is like running an adult daycare. It's just what it is. Like, we're all just trying to work out our shit. So if we can do it with a little bit more kindness and compassion and respect and love and openness, transparency, less shadiness, and we genuinely see people's potential, like, that's the secret to how we build cultures. That's a secret to how we retain staff. Because here's what happens. We put people through these processes, and then let's say they stay, that you've lost them. They're completely 100% gone. Whether they're still there or not. Like, if they're still there and they're working for you and they're an RN and they're on the floor, you've lost all trust, rapport, no like factor, all of the things. And you've got to build it back up. But how many people actually do that? How many people think, I have to reconnect with Liam and, you know, build up his confidence again and help him see that, you know, that's in the past and we're not going to keep bringing that up and we're not going to keep measuring against that because, you know, we've got a plan in place. And I trust and believe in them with the right support that they'll be able to do what they need to do to get over the line. I genuinely believe that if we could all, I steal this from Brené Brown, but if we could all just believe that everybody is doing their best all of the time, then we would just have much nicer conversations. And for the grads that are listening, you might be scared, and I totally hear you. And it is scary. I'm not going to lie. It is scary. It's a little heavy today. I'm sorry, but it is scary. And for the grads that are listening, just remember that even if you do face yourself in situations like this, that there is always going to be somebody that you can go to. You never have to navigate this alone. Whether you reach out to me, just have a call in a quick chat or a DM, whatever, it's fine. I'm here. Whether it's you going to the union or to a legal representative, or you do go and find somebody else that's outside of the hospital, because HR is not your friend. They work for the hospital. They're going to always prioritize the hospital's needs. Then just remember that you can get support, and support is available, and that you don't have to do it on your own. I think that as nurses that are supporting grads, knowing what this education system looks like and knowing what they've gone through over the last few years with COVID and post-COVID, I think we also have to be accommodating and not expect them to know everything within the first 2 weeks, the first 2 months, the first 6 months. And many of us say, of course, you're a new grad, like, it's fine. But then we come on shift and we bitch at them because they haven't done X, Y, and Z. Just a little bit of self-awareness. It's hard in nursing because we're so stressed and we're chronically stressed, but that self-awareness and just stopping yourself from going to the manager being like, they've been here 3 weeks and they still don't know how to do this. Like, it takes everybody a different amount of time. And just think about how you were when you were a new grad and you came in and you were literally navigating everything from the get-go. And you probably tell a story like, oh, I was amazing. I was great. Like, I wasn't. I was a total hot mess. I was so stressed out. I made an error within my first 3 weeks and I was stripped of my ability to give IV antibiotics. I was just writing an email about this today. And so we've got to support our people so that we can fill the gaps in the workforce, so that we can build a sustainable, thriving nursing workforce where 50% of the grads don't want to leave halfway through their graduate year because they're not getting the support, and that everybody expects them to have done everything by the time that they're finished. And that now that they're a registered nurse, it means you should be able to do everything. I know I'm generalizing, and I know there's amazing people that listen that don't do that. And that's amazing. But I'm speaking to the people that don't follow that line of thought, and they have these real high expectations of the grads or any nurse. Because the reality is every nurse has a high expectation of themselves. They don't need more high expectations placed upon them that seem unachievable and unobtainable, especially when they're new into a nursing role. So I went on a little tangent there, but if you are going through a process, HR is not your friend. Do not think that they are automatically doing the right by you. They might be, and that's amazing. And I hope and pray for that. But do not assume that that's the case. Always, always get a second, even a third opinion, reach out and get the support. And remember, these experiences do not define who you are. They do not define your worthiness. They do not dictate where you go moving forward. If no one has ever told you and you're going through a process like this, there is light at the end of the tunnel. How do I know? I've helped so many people go through this. Literally, APRA notifications, not getting into APRA as a student and needing to navigate the system. I've helped people that have worked for me as a nurse, you know, leave a job before they got fired from a job. I've helped people through performance processes where it went on for months. And we just really tried to educate and build them and grow them. And, you know, we just couldn't get there for some reason. But now I understand it's because we were focusing on developing their clinical skills and we didn't take into account their humanness. What was happening for them? Were they stressed every day? Was us breathing down their neck putting them under more stress and pressure? How did they handle stress? Did they have the tools to emotionally and mentally deal with the requirements that we were asking for? How did everybody else know about the fact that they were on a performance plan? You know, obviously it's clear there's people watching them all the time. So how are we supporting them? There's so many things that I would go back and do differently. And that's a whole different podcast. I share those things with you so that you can see that anything is possible after these experiences. You will be hireable. Somebody will want to take you. You are still amazing. You still have all of the experience. It doesn't automatically get deleted from your resume. You are capable of still pursuing your dreams. This is just a little blip. And I always say this, and I want to end on this, that even though right now you're like, this is the worst thing that I'm going through, there is growth on the other side of this. And that the discomfort, learning to work through this discomfort and this challenge, is something that will become a message that you share with other people. Even if it's not a message that you want to be able to share, it's a message that you now have. This is the path that you're on. You will share this with other people and you will make their experience of the same situation much easier, much lighter, much more doable. So whether or not that's aspirational or not, that is what happens after you've gone through any kind of adversity. You become a beacon for other people. They see that you've gone through it so they can go through it too. Not that we wish it on anybody, but it is the reality in the current setting. So my friend, HR is not your friend. Do not befriend them. Find your support and I will see you in the next episode. If there's anything from this podcast that you want to talk about, just drop me a line. Let's have a chat. Remember, there are so many ways for you to get support. Nursing Midwifery Helpline. This podcast is not sponsored by them. I just love referring people to them. They're there. Use them. EAP, union, legal representative, me, somebody in your household, family that can help you and support you. Reach out to them. Do not do this alone. I'll see you next week. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'm so privileged that you spent your time with us here today. Hey, can I ask a favor? If you know someone that would benefit from this podcast episode, please share it with them. The more you share, the more we get in front of amazing nurses and we're able to help them see that nursing on their terms across their career is totally possible for them. So I'd love if you could do that. Now, I will see you in the next episode next week. Until then, let's make this year the year that you nurse on your terms. Are you ready? Let's do it.